tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 15th of July 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I've got a rather unexpected article to take a look at today, and this actually comes from Britain and I'm taking it from GB News, and the headline is "Calling a person coloured is not racist. Judge confirms." Now, as I say, I was very surprised to actually read this. So I would have thought that they would have decided that it certainly was racist, since it is an earlier used term for black people. It seems that whatever term has been used to describe black people over a certain length of time, it becomes associated with bad behaviour, and then it becomes a negative word that we are no longer able to use. And I think the word coloured was used in the 80s and 90s, so it's a fairly old word. Of course, we refer to them as people of colour today, or black and minority ethnic. And just a couple of years back, the government was saying, well, we shouldn't use this term black and minority ethnic either. We should be referring to people's direct ethnicity. But of course, the government also says that ethnicity doesn't exist and anyone can call themselves British regardless of what race they are. So we have a bit of a contradiction there in terms. So let's have a look at how this came about. Complainant Amy Reeves said the judicial system had failed her after her discrimination claim was shot down. So this was an employment tribunal, basically, rather than an actual trial. Describing someone as coloured is not racist, an employment judge has ruled. A tribunal has concluded that even if the term was considered to be old-fashioned, it was not racist to describe someone of an ethnic minority background if used as a one-off comment. So they do have a proviso there, just if it's used as a one-off comment. And I suspect that that means that if you were to add another term to it, like a negative term, for instance, like you were supposed to say, oh, that coloured so-and-so, then they may say that that incites hate. They may say that you were trying to insult the person based on race by using the word coloured beforehand. And the fact that it is old-fashioned, I did think that pretty much every old-fashioned term that we have for black people is now out of bounds. I said to my probation when I was on probation that if in actual fact the use of racial slurs indicated that somebody was more likely to carry out terrorism against black people, then the biggest terrorists in the country would be everybody over the age of 80 who are used to using these terms because they were using them when they were younger. And of course, they didn't really have any answer to that one. And of course, you don't see these elderly people arrested for using these terms because it's not really about the term that's being used. It's about persecuting people for criticism of certain government policies that they don't want to be criticised, policies surrounding immigration. Mixed heritage admin worker Amy Reeves heard a colleague describe two people as coloured whilst working in an office. Of course, this is the reason why one of the reasons why people don't want to employ people who are non-white, because they know that they're opening themselves up for accusations of racism, even when they're not actually being racist. I mean, I've read so many articles of somebody black or minority ethnic who's lost their job and then went to a tribunal and tried to get money out of their previous employers, saying that the reason why they lost their job was because of racism, or they left the job because of racism. Basically, as is the case here, somebody using an old-fashioned term. So this is that's why this is so surprising that they said that this wasn't actually racist. She claimed she was the victim of discrimination and racial harassment as a result of the remarks. And don't forget, this wasn't actually being said to her. She overheard this from another colleague talking to somebody else. And that's what she took offence at. I mean, if we're going to have people that are going to take offence to these sorts of things, and we have a society where this is likely to happen, we have a society that is setting people up for conflict and friction, don't we? I mean, this could never happen in a society that was just based of one ethnic group. A society based of one ethnic group is not going to feel harassed by hearing a member of their own ethnic group using an old-fashioned term, for instance, for another ethnic group. It's just not going to happen. So the very fact that we have these instances occurring in British society today shows that we're doing something wrong in our society. The tribunal found the colleague did not intend for the term to be offensive and determined Miss Reeves to not have been subjected to any form of harassment. This is interesting as well, because in criminal law, you don't actually have to intend to incite racial hatred. It can be seen as enough for it to stir up racial hatred. I mean, in my case, I never intended to stir up racial hatred, and they pretty much accepted that I never intended to stir up racial hatred, but they said that it was likely to be stirred up by me using these old-fashioned terms, effectively. So I guess in employment law, there has to be an intent there. Is that what this is saying? Because it is a judge that made this ruling. It was a tribunal judge. So he said, because the colleague did not intend for the term to be offensive, he determined that she had not been subject to any form of harassment. Now, if this had been the case in Sam Melia's trial, he never intended to stir up racial hatred either. And the content that he put out was completely legal. So if this was the case in criminal law, Sam would have been found not guilty. So this is quite interesting that because it shows that employment law must be different to criminal law, I guess. I mean, perhaps this judge is actually opening himself up for an appeal from the claimed aggrieved victim. The tribunal also said it was not reasonable for her to be upset by the use of the term, but conceded that it could be offensive. Again, this is very interesting, because the current guidance for the police about non-crime related hate incidents are that if somebody claims they thought an action was inspired by racial hatred, that then that action was inspired by racial hatred. They have to believe the victim. The victim doesn't have to actually show any evidence. The victim may not even be a member of the minority that they believe the action was directed at, but the police have to treat it as if it was hate-related, and then they have to record it, and that becomes a non-crime-related hate incident. Now, the College of Policing have been told that they have to change their directions on this so that the police aren't recording all these non-crime-related hate incidents. But the fact is that idea that if a victim or a supposed victim claims that they were victimised based on their race, then the police have to just accept that without any evidence needing to be demonstrated. And this is what happened to Henry Novak. His accuser claimed that Henry Novak had been racist towards him. Straight away, that means that it then becomes a critical incident, and the accusation of racism takes priority over everything else, and the person doesn't actually have to provide any evidence to show that they've been the victim of some racism. But here, the judge is saying it's not reasonable for her to be upset by the use of the term. So he is effectively making a decision himself that what she is claiming is not reasonable. And the police are not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to say, well, I don't think that it's reasonable that you took offence at that. They have to accept that they're actually talking to a victim. So again, this is very, very different to a criminal law, effectively. Miss Reeves, who is of British and Jamaican heritage, was employed by construction and housing company Kia Limited in Sheffield, Yorkshire, working as a commercial administrator in November 2024. says she's of mixed heritage, effectively. On her first day at the job, one tenant had been described as a little old black lady, she said. So literally from the first day on the job, she was looking for things that she could take offence at, I suspect, so that she could come out with an employment claim for racism. Again, what is offensive about saying a little old black lady? Was the person female? Clearly. Was the person black? Clearly. Were they old? Yes. And were they rather short? Yes. I mean, we quite often say little old lady, and the person here was saying a little old black lady because it was a little old black lady, effectively, just stating what they saw in front of them. Yet we've been programmed, or black people have been programmed, to see it as racism. Perhaps this person wasn't actually quite clear on what racism is, and thought that any reference to race whatsoever would be likely to be racism. So maybe they just included this, trying to think of any reference they can to race. And it is confusing because you often hear commentators saying, oh, they racialized so-and-so. And effectively, it means that they talked about race. So I think some people do think that any mention of race at all is racist. And it certainly seems that this Miss Reeves here, this mixed race person, does seem as if she thought that any mention of the word race at all, or any use of race as a descriptor in any way whatsoever, was evidence of racism. She then sent a message to someone the next day saying, there were some discriminatory comments in the office yesterday that bothered me, and I'm not really sure how to approach it. I'm not upset, as I think people just need to be educated better. It's a 100% white British office. So it's perfectly fine for her to say it's a 100% white British office, but it's not okay for somebody in that office to say little old black lady when referring to somebody who's black. So it's perfectly fine for her to refer to people who are white as white, but it's not okay for them to refer to people who are black as black. And again, I think this shows that as soon as she got this job, she was just looking to make a claim of racism. I mean, straight away, she's saying she was bothered about these discriminatory comments, and yet the discriminatory comment was simply referring to somebody's ethnicity, basically, as when describing the person. In March 2025, Miss Reeves said the project manager of the company, Wayne Pashley, had described a pair of women outside the office as two coloured ladies outside. Now, how is that? How can that be seen as shocking? It's a term that was commonly used in the 80s, probably right up to the 90s. And it was seen as the polite term when I was younger, I guess. A couple of decades ago, saying the word coloured was seen as the polite term to describe somebody who was black. So if you've got anybody that's probably over the age of 60, they would still be likely to use that term and thinking that they were being polite in doing so. Of course, they've changed it now to people of colour. I don't really know why. I'm not sure that the word coloured has any negative connotations. It's just a racial descriptor. Yet, because it is an old-fashioned term, this woman clearly thinks that it's racist. She said Mr. Pashley was visibly startled as he noticed that she could see him. Of course, the man probably felt guilty because this black woman was glaring at him, and he just used an old-fashioned term. Again, this just shows you the problems that we have in modern society, in a multicultural society. You have various different groups all living together, with some groups are going to be offended at the normal behaviour of other groups. And this comes into it's glaringly obvious when you talk about Muslims, and Muslims don't like imagery. They don't like to see images. It's haram to have images of humans, and even worse, to have images of Muhammad. And yet in the Western world, we like artwork. We present artwork everywhere. We think it's a beautiful thing. We think the human body is a beautiful thing, and it should be painted, it should be sculpted. Yet in Islam, that's idolatry. And yet we have this group that is living in the Western countries that effectively find an essential part of European identity to be offensive and blasphemous. So this just highlights the fact that if you have two different ethnicities living together, and neither one of them is wrong in this. I mean, if Muslims want to find artwork images idolatry, that's up to them. But the fact that you then have another group that don't find it as being blasphemous and think that it's a good thing living in the same territory, then you're just asking for problems, aren't you? It's the same thing here. You've got this mixed race lady who thinks the term coloured is racist, and then you've got somebody, her boss, who clearly thinks that it isn't and is using it in order to be polite, rather than using one of the other terms for black people that we've been told we're not allowed to use. Miss Reeves then reported the usage of the term to her manager, saying that racial discrimination was something she was struggling with. So she's literally saying that simply because this man referred to somebody as being coloured, that was racial discrimination and she was struggling with it. I mean, does she not understand that she herself could be described as coloured? She's mixed race. Is she saying that he should not be seeing race at all? Because, of course, in the modern day, we're told that we should be seeing race, and even the police are being told that they should see race and they should treat people of different races in different ways. I mean, again, highlighted by Henry Novak and the way that the Sikh was treated and the way that Henry Novak was treated. And it's even in the police guidance that was signed off as okay by the chief constable, saying that they should treat races differently. They should not be colourblind. And yet what Miss Reeves is saying here is that her boss should be colourblind and should not refer to a person's race when they're describing them. She said, "Site staff have said two coloured ladies, old black ladies, and quite frequently laughed at non-English last names." Well, what's wrong with laughing at a name that you can't pronounce? Again, it's because you have people in the country that have names in different languages that this sort of thing is going to happen. I can't see what's wrong with saying an old black lady. I wouldn't use the term two coloured ladies, but just because it's an out-of-date term. But I would certainly use the word black, and black people themselves use far worse terms than black and coloured, don't they? She said, "It's making me really uncomfortable and out of place. I'm wondering if you could address these issues. Let me know your thoughts." I mean, I don't understand why she's feeling uncomfortable and out of place. I mean, you could make the argument where she is out of place because she's the only mixed race person in a work environment of all white people. What are they saying? That they should pretend that she's white? And that they're effectively just going about their daily business and referring to people with descriptors. I mean, you've got little, old, and also coloured there. And lady. So you've got four descriptors, so they know the person that they're actually talking about. If they just said a little old lady, the other person wouldn't know who they were talking about, would they? The manager did offer to intervene, but she told him not to, because things had been settled at that point. She did note, however, that she personally preferred to not use the term black, even if it was used purely descriptively. So she's got a little bit of a problem here, because she doesn't use the term black. I mean, I guess all the other colours are okay. It's okay to say red, it's okay to say yellow, but it's not okay to say black. I think this shows you just how confused the messaging is about race and how confusing it is for black and minority ethnic people to understand what racism actually is, because we're being told all the time that it's different things. We're told that white people can't be the victims of racism. For instance, I think black and mixed race people quite often have a misunderstanding of what racism actually is, and white people as well. And they just think that racism is simply the use of race in any conversation whatsoever, and that you're not supposed to do that. But it's only natural that you're going to describe somebody by what makes them different from everybody else. I mean, it's a great shame that when they give police reports of a suspect, they very often don't actually tell you the race of the suspect anymore. When that is the first thing that is going to strike somebody is if they are of a different race. I don't think they even say what clothes they wear now. A man in a red T-shirt. Well, is that the white man in the red T-shirt or is that the black man in the red T-shirt? Which one is it? I can recall doing a news story a while back, and I think it was on New York, and they were the New York police, and they were saying that we're no longer going to use racial descriptors when we're describing a suspect, which of course just puts the public at risk if you're not allowed to properly describe the suspect by the thing that most stands out to the people that are looking at the time. Miss Reeves said she continued to experience discriminatory behaviour, microaggressions, and a pattern of exclusion, which led her to file a grievance with the company in May 2025, asking to work 100% remotely as it was dealt with. Now, it's not really surprising that she noticed a pattern of exclusion when she's going to, you know, on her very first day, she's going to the manager and saying that she's feeling discriminated against because he used the word coloured, or somebody else used the word blacked when talking about somebody. And of course, the other office workers there are then going to be worried that she's going to start telling tales about them as well, aren't they? So I'm not surprised they tried to exclude her. I mean, this judge has said that the terms were not racist, they were not discriminatory, and yet she was still reporting it. So quite clearly, if you were in an office with this woman, it would have been quite sensible for you to not talk to her, basically, because she would just be looking for ways to get you into trouble. And the fact she then asked to work 100% remotely as it's being dealt with, don't forget this is somebody that's only just joined the company and she's now dictating the way that she is going to work for the company, effectively. She's dictating the way that the office language has to be policed, and she's also saying, "And I need to be able to work from home." She left sick with stress, eventually resigning from the company in July, citing a failure to protect her from discrimination. I think she's only been there since May, so she's only been there for a little over, well, I guess 6 weeks, I think it is, before you can get sickness benefit, things like that. So she's waited until she can get sickness benefit, and then she's resigned, sick with stress. Her complaints of harassment related to race victimisation and direct race discrimination were all dismissed by employment judge Kirsty Iyer. And as I say, clearly employment law must be very different to criminal law, because if this was a criminal case, they would have said, or the police were involved, they would have just believed the supposed victim outright. They wouldn't have been able to say, well, I don't think that's a reasonable claim to make, because whether it's reasonable or not, the police have been told that they just have to accept what the victim says as the truth. I think that was the result of the McPherson report, which was the investigation into the killing of Stephen Lawrence. And effectively, at the end of that, they said if somebody claims to be the victim of racism, they are the victim of racism, clearly, because they are the ones that decide whether something was racist or not is the victim. And that was their logic. So the fact that this judge has been able to say, well, I don't think that's reasonable, I would love to see that actually happening in courtrooms or the police. I think you should be look at a case and judge it on its merits and see whether the accusation is reasonable or not. Just not instantly decide, well, the supposed victim, what they're saying is the truth, because that's effectively saying that the victim themselves is both the judge and the jury. On whether they were the victim of racism or not. It's a ridiculous way to be. The judge, accepting that Miss Reeves was upset by the remarks, said, "We find, however, that in all the circumstances, it was not reasonable for the comment to have that effect." And I bet the supposed victim was really surprised at that, because she probably knows that elsewhere in society, if you're making an accusation of racism, it all has to be followed up, and it just has to be accepted that that's the truth. "It was a one-off comment, not directed at Miss Reeves, and used to describe two people." Speaking after the decision, Miss Reeves said she felt baffled, adding that the judicial system severely failed me on that day. Well, I suspect she was baffled as well, because all the rest of society tells her that she would have got a lot of money out of this, claiming that this was racism, because she's been taught, or it's the message that black people get, is that the use of race in any way whatsoever is racism. It's the same as people are encouraged to believe that the describing of anything Jewish is anti-Semitism. I heard that accusation before. Oh, you're talking about Jews. That's against the law. Well, it's not against the law to talk about Jews. You just have to talk about Jews in a certain way so that it remains within the law. And in actual fact, it's the law that shouldn't be there telling you that there are certain groups in society that you're not allowed to criticise, and that if you do criticise them, you have to use politically correct terminology when you do so. And it's ridiculous policing people's speech and wasting police resources on it when we have such a crime problem that we have. It's taking people out of prison from serious crime so that we can make room for putting people in there for things that they said on Facebook is ridiculous. I've come on a long way myself, really, in the use of these terms. I mean, a few years back, I used to listen to Harold Covington from the Northwest Front. And in quite a lot of his podcasts, he would say, look, we need to use these politically correct terms. They try to prevent us from using them. And it's because they want to prevent us from thinking about these subjects. They think that if they can take away the words that we use, we won't be able to think about these subjects. We won't be able to talk about these subjects. And that's a good argument to make. And also, people instinctively feel against speech codes. It's something you instinctively want to rebel against, being told what words you can and cannot use, especially when they're English words and you are English and you're being told you're not allowed to use words of your own language. But it's perfectly fine for members of other ethnic groups to use those words. It's something that makes you want to push back against it instinctively, to rebel against. But I don't think that benefits us when we do that. It just means that we run the risk of being prosecuted for it. And also, if we use terminology like that in our activism, it also means that a lot of people are just going to be instantly turned off. They're going to see a word that they don't want to see, and they're not going to listen to what else you're saying. So my views today are that we should modify our language and use language that is most accessible to everyone. After all, we want to reach people with our message. We don't want people to switch the radio off or say, I'm not going to read the rest of that leaflet that's been put through my door because of the language that's on it. I think we want to reach as many people as possible. And the way to reach as many people as possible is to use terminology which is not going to offend people. So my own views on this have changed somewhat over the last 10 years, and I think the best, the most effective way to activism is to use the most accessible language that we can use. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.